Then we can start recording. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jopa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Lasmi Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So today is the 36th session of book 2. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, we cannot hear.
Yes. Okay, Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us your very valuable association. We are continuing to study Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and this is book 2, The Journey of Gopakumar all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, and it is session 36. Hopefully we should finish this story very soon. But now we are in session 36. So let's start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshtarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. All glories to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Following in the footsteps of all the other speakers, I would like to offer whatever benefit is there from this session for the recovery of His Holiness Bhaktacharu Swami Maharaj. We have all been ardently praying, so we would like to offer whatever good that is coming out of this session of discussion with Vaishnavas. We pray that it reaches the lotus feet of His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj and he recovers really, really fast. So thanks to all the devotees who joined today. Hare Krishna. So in our previous class of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we stopped at a point where Sarupa and the Mathura Brahman, finally they saw Krishna face to face. So the Mathura Brahman, he heard the entire story of Sarupa, how he reached Goloka Vrindavan. And the Mathura Brahman was so inspired and he really wanted to see Krishna face to face. So that is when Sarupa touched the head of the Mathura Brahman and finally he could hear the sounds of Krishna and the cowherd boys coming towards him and he caught a glimpse of Krishna face to face. So the minute Sarupa and his dear disciple, the Mathura Brahman, saw Krishna face to face, they threw themselves on the ground when they saw that Krishna was arriving and they were completely choked up, so much so that they couldn't even offer proper prayers in glorification of the Lord. Now Krishna, he was so overwhelmed by the love for his devotees that he ran towards them. And as soon as he reached them, actually Krishna fainted and he fell over them. He was so overwhelmed with love and emotion that he fainted and he fell over them. And he was trying to embrace both of them with his very long arms. And his heart was really, really melting in compassion. And he was bathing both his lovely devotees with the torrents and torrents of tears of love. So Krishna, with great difficulty, he had to compose himself. And he got up and he steadied both his devotees. And he also steadied them. and then wiping all the dust that was smeared on their bodies and the tears that was flowing from their eyes, the Lord embraced them again and again, again and again with so much love. And then he sat there right on that spot in the mud of the forest of Vrindavan with both his devotees. And then Krishna, who was so choked with emotions for his dear devotees, he began to speak very, very sweetly. First, he addressed the Mathura Brahmin who was waiting to see Krishna for all these years. So he started speaking to the Brahmin. He said, "O Brahmana, you are Janasharma. You are the moon that was born from the ocean of the dynasty of the Brahmanas. We were all waiting for the real identity, the spiritual name of the Brahmana. Finally, here Krishna himself reveals the name, and his name was Janasharma." So he told Janasharma, just like how the moon emerges from the ocean of milk, this Janasharma has emerged from the ocean of the dynasty of all the great pious Brahmanas. And just like how the moon with its gravitational force, it swells the waters of the ocean and creates waves. Similarly, our Janasharma, with his noble qualities, he has exalted his entire family. So Krishna said, "I am so happy, Janasharma, that you have finally come here. And your arrival is what I was looking towards. I was looking towards this path and looking and looking and waiting when you would be coming through this path. It's such a great fortune that today you have remembered me and you have come here. I am so fortunate that I could get your association after so long." Like this, Krishna was glorifying the Brahman. This is what happens to everyone who goes to the spiritual world. Krishna is eagerly waiting. He's eagerly looking towards the path of our arrival. And when we enter the spiritual world, this is the love that Krishna shows us. So we get a glimpse of what is going to happen when we read the story of Janasharma. So Krishna very lovingly told him that, "My dear Brahmana, my dear Janasharma, I'm completely under your control, completely under your control. So now this is your place. Please feel free to enjoy with me and all the cowherd boys as much as you like and as long as you like." So like this, hearing these words of Krishna, Janasharma, he was swept away by an ecstasy of love, and he couldn't even reply to Krishna or even look at his face directly. His throat was choked up, his eyes were filled with tears. And all that this Janasharma could do was he could just place his head at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And Lord Sri Krishna, who's the crest jewel of all munificent persons, who's so compassionate, he just wanted to give himself to Janasharma. He said, "Janasharma, I don't know how to repay you. All that I can do is to just give myself to you." This is something we see very consistently in the behavior of Krishna with his devotees. When Krishna feels so overwhelmed with the love of his devotees, he says, "What more can I give you? I can just give myself." And in fact, that is the topmost thing every devotee wants. We all want the embrace of Krishna or the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. But then after saying that, Krishna very hurriedly, he removed all his ornaments that he was wearing and he started decorating Janasharma with his own hands, with his own ornaments. And he made sure that Janasharma looked exactly like a cowherd boy and he looked very similar to his spiritual master Sarupa. So basically Krishna made sure that Janasharma got the dress of a cowherd boy and he was accepted as one of his sakas. Krishna, he bestowed all his mercy on Janasharma, and Janasharma felt the greatest fulfillment. He was so happy that he was able to follow in the footsteps of his spiritual master and become like one of them, one of the cowherd boys, like how Sarupa was also a cowherd boy. So Janasharma was feeling so fortunate. How nice it is that even I was able to follow in the footsteps of my spiritual master and take a similar form like him. So he was so happy, and the greatest happiness that Janasharma was really feeling is that he was feeling so grateful that he could ultimately perform eternal devotional service to the Lord without any stoppage. So this is indeed the nature of pure devotees. The nature of pure devotees is that they do not hanker for anything that is material, they do not even hanker for liberation, release from this repeated process of birth and death. What do they hanker for? All that they hanker for is pure devotional service. They just want to have pure devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the only thing Jana Sharma wanted, and finally he had attained it in the presence of Krishna. So the devotees, they are glorified in so many ways throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's look at some instances from the Srimad Bhagavatam as to how Krishna himself glorifies his pure devotees. So in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, verses, there are a few verses that are described in chapter 14, 20, and so on. We'll just read a few verses of how Krishna glorifies his own devotees. He says, "One who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma, nor Indra, nor an empire on earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfection of yoga, nor do they ask for liberation from birth and death. Such persons who are only hankering for my service, such persons are very, very dear to me." This is 11.14.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna again says, "Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and they do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it." Canto 11, chapter 20, verse number 34. Krishna says, "A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engages in the service of my lotus feet never desires to become one with me. He never wants sayujya. Such a devotee who is unflinchingly engaged in my service, he is always glorifying my pastimes and activities." This is Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 34. Krishna says, "My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the other principles of liberation. Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Sashti. They are not interested in any of these, because all of these are automatically achieved when one attains devotional service. So they are not hankering after this. What then is to be said about perishable happiness like elevation to higher planetary systems?" This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, 67. So like this, Krishna himself, he glorifies the intention and the desires of his pure devotees and how they hanker only for devotional service and nothing else. The same mood was actually echoed in the prayers of the wives of the serpent of Kaliya in the 10th canto. So when Krishna subdued Kaliya and the Nagapatnis came and offered prayers, they said, what did they say? They said in the canto 10, chapter 16, verse number 37, they said, "Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma or rulership over earth. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself." What to talk about the wives of Kaliya? Even the Lord's own consorts, they said the same thing. When they met, when the wives of Krishna, they met Draupadi in Kurukshetra. So when they were addressing Draupadi, they told this very, very beautiful verse. This is in Canto 10. Chapter 83, verses 41 and 42. They told her, "O saintly lady, we do not desire..." Just one second. Sorry. Yeah. So they said, "We do not desire dominion over earth, the sovereignty of the King of Heaven, unlimited facility for enjoyment, mystic power, the position of Brahma, immortality, or even attainment of the kingdom of God. We simply desire to carry in our heads the glorious dust of Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet, enriched by the fragrance of kumkuma from his consort's bosom." So it's actually a very interesting verse as to how Krishna's own queens are telling that we want the lotus feet of Krishna, which is enriched, which with his wife's lotus bosom. I mean, the kumkuma from his wife's lotus bosom. So what is this? I mean, the wives are themselves talking about it. So Lord Krishna's queens, of course, they are saying that they do not desire for any powers or even liberation or even go to Vaikuntha. I mean, these are all eternal associates. But what do they want? What do they want? They simply want the dust from Krishna's feet, which Goddess Sri herself worships. And who is this Goddess Sri that they are talking about? Because one of the queens is in fact Goddess Sri, right? So who is this Goddess Sri that they are indicating? So Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, he tells us the goddess of fortune mentioned in this verse is not just Lakshmi, who is the consort of Narayana. Rather, this Sri, it refers to the supreme goddess of fortune, but who is identified in the Gautamiya Tantra. So what does the Gautamiya Tantra say about the supreme goddess of fortune? It says, Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. So this is how Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, he reconciles this verse and talks about who really this goddess of fortune is. Because how would the wives of Krishna hanker for some other goddess of fortune? That means it should be someone other than them, right? So who is that? That is being identified here. And do we know for sure? Yes, we do know for sure that it is her, because in the very next verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed. So in verse number 43 of the same chapter, we have this very wonderful verse that the queens continue to say. After they said this verse, immediately they said, we desire the same contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Vraja, those ladies, they contacted. The cowherd boys had an opportunity to serve. And that is the lotus feet that all the Pulinda women there served. So the touch of the dust he leaves on the plants and the grass when he tends the cow, that is the dust that those ladies worship. And we desire to take the dust that is smeared from the kumkuma of those ladies. So this is Canto 10, chapter 83, verse number 43. So like this, very beautifully, Krishna talks about pure devotional service. And we saw from various people the culmination of pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? And who exhibited that real pure devotional service? We saw how Krishna glorifies pure devotional service, how the Nagapatnis talk about pure devotional service, and how his own consorts are glorifying pure devotional service and the devotees who truly exemplified pure devotional service. So, after Sarupa and Jana Sharma joined Krishna's company, then Krishna, with a signal from his flute, he called out to all the cows and the buffaloes, all the animals that he was tending to, and he called them with his flute so that they could go and drink some water and quench their thirst. Then, after the animals quenched their thirst, he played another note from his flute and he made all the animals rest down in comfortable places. Then Krishna, with all the cowherd boys, Jana Sharma, Sarupa, all of them, they entered the beautiful waters of River Yamuna and they started playing. So Krishna is Vinoda Kovida, means he's an expert in all sorts of sports. Some of his friends were splashing water on him from behind and Krishna would turn around and splash water on them. And then suddenly one Gopa would attack him by splashing water from another direction. And Krishna would enjoy these attacks and he would have counter attacks on them. So these attacks were more pleasurable to Krishna than the worship that is offered in awe and veneration by so many other devotees who worship him with veneration. Krishna actually enjoyed these plays of the cowherd boys much more. So Krishna would go like this. He would swim along the current of the river Yamuna. Sometimes he would swim against the current of the river Yamuna. He would make splashing sounds and it would be very, very musical. He would entertain all his friends in a very musical way by splashing the waters of the river Yamuna. And sometimes just to tease his friends, Krishna would go and he would hide behind the huge waves of the Yamuna. So Yamuna is also Krishna, meaning she is blackish, right? So she's a black river. And Krishna is also blackish. So when this Krishna would hide behind the huge waves of Krishna, it would appear that Krishna disappeared. And all the cowherd boys, for a minute, they would just lose their lives thinking, where is our Krishna? Where is our Krishna? So with so much anxiety, they would cry bitterly just to catch a glimpse of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna would very jokingly dive into the water and then come up, and he would hide behind beautiful blue color lotuses. And it would be so hard to distinguish between the face of Krishna and the lotus present there, because Krishna's face is also like a lotus flower. So suddenly then he would emerge out from these lotuses, revealing himself. And then all the cowherd boys would feel like they really got back their lives, and with so much love, they would rush towards Krishna to go and embrace them, and they would jump towards Krishna, and all of them enjoyed sporting like this. So after enjoying his sport in water with all his cowherd friends, then he came out and he decorated all his friends with charming garlands that were made from flowers and lotus fibers that was present in the water. And then they also took the opportunity to decorate Krishna very, very beautifully. So like this, everyone got decorated, they cleaned themselves, and then after a good bath, it was lunchtime. So everyone sat down to have lunch. So Krishna asked Balaram to sit in the center, and all of them sat in circles around Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna, he also wanted to serve the boys personally. So Krishna got up and then he took wonderful delicacies that he had brought from his house. And all the boys, they took out the wonderful delicacies that they had brought from their homes. And Krishna personally, to serve his friends, he started moving back and forth in a very playful gait. And the boys, they had also collected a lot of forest flowers and fruits and tubers from the forest, besides the lunchbox that they had got from their home. So they had collected palm fruits, amala keys, rasalas, jackfruits, bananas, citrus fruits, and so many other ripe, tasty fruits like dates and pomegranates from the forest. So it was, of course, we all know Vrindavan had so many fruits and flowers, and especially in the season where everything is flowering and all the fruits are ripe. These boys were enjoying, and wherever they went in the forest, they made sure that they always collected something for their lunchtime. So besides the box that they had from their mother, they also had all these wonderful fruits and tubers and flowers and so many other edible items. And Krishna, he was jumping around from one place to the other. He was so excited to feed his friends. So he would go from one boy to the other, and he would stretch out his hand and he would take a morsel of food and give it to one boy. So like that, by the time the one boy catches the morsel of food, he would go to the other boy and give him another morsel of food. So like this, Krishna was personally interacting and making sure that all his cowherd friends were really, really happy enjoying the lunch together. And everyone felt that Krishna was actually just standing in front of them only and taking care of them. And all the boys, they also had got so many lovely preparations from home, and they offered with their own hands to Krishna to make him happy. So they also offered very lovingly the fruits, vegetables, the yogurt, rice, everything that they had got from their home, and they fed Krishna with their own hands. So like this, Krishna, with his bubbling humor, he was making jokes and he was entertaining all the cowherd boys. And everybody was laughing and eating and enjoying from all these, the lunch that they had all brought. Everyone was completely enchanted just looking at Krishna's behavior with them, meaning Krishna's interactions with them. Then after they had lunch to their full satisfaction, all the boys, they drank all sorts of nectar. Some had brought panakam from home. Panakam is a combination of, you all must have done it several times, it's a combination of jaggery, ginger, cardamom, black pepper, and other spices. And then they drank all sorts of liquids like buttermilk that they had got from home. And these liquids they had carried in vessels made from goats and barks. And after eating and drinking to their pleasure, Krishna, then he did achaman and he chewed very fragrant camphor, rich betel nut that was wrapped in Nagavalli leaves that were present in the forest. And he also distributed pan to everybody, and everybody was chewing and they were enjoying. Then after eating nicely, they wanted to decorate themselves. So what did they do? They went around and they collected various kinds of forest flowers and leaves, and they made quick garlands. They made beautiful Vaijayanti malas. What are the flowers they got? They got Ketaki, they got Madhavi, Yutika, Mallika, Kunda Jasmine, Malati, Tulasi, Jati. Like that, all the forest flowers were picked and beautiful Vaijayanti mala, and peacock feathers were collected from the ground, from the peacocks that had left their feathers, and they made a lovely asana for Krishna. They made beautiful jewelry for Krishna, and they put these garlands around Krishna, and Krishna in turn, he also decorated very personally all these boys with all these lovely, lovely fragrant flowers and garlands. Then Krishna, he smeared on his limbs the aguru, kumkuma, musk and other fragrant substances that were found naturally in the forest. There were sandalwood trees, there was a musk available very easily, aguru scent was available. So Krishna collected all these fragrant forest minerals and he was smearing it on his body. And also again, he made sure that his friends also decorated themselves very, very nicely, just like perfect cowherd boys. Then all the friends, they chose a very nice fragrant grove, and Krishna, he rested on a bed that was made with soft leaves for his resting. He chose the lap of Sridham as his resting place for his head. So he placed his head on Sridham's lap and he stretched out his legs, and some boys went and they started massaging his lotus-like arms and legs, and Krishna was resting on Sridham's lap like a pillow. And they were enjoying and they were talking and they were making jokes. So similar thing is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. In Canto 10, Chapter 15, verses 16 through 18, we see a similar scene that says, sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down on the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. So a similar thing is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So some of the cowherd boys were so excited that they were just waiting for an opportunity to massage Krishna. And some of them thought, okay, if I'm not able to massage Krishna's feet or legs, then at least let me fan him. So some people, they just collected nice big leaves that looked like fans, and they started fanning Krishna. So like this, some of the other boys were thinking, oh, they got an opportunity to fan, so let me sing some nice songs so that Krishna can enjoy. So some boys, they started singing songs, and others started playing instruments from the different gourds and the stringed instruments that they had made in the forest. And they were sharing jokes and they were enjoying. They were playing their flute, they were playing their buffalo horn, and they were really having a good time. So after a nice enjoyment, it was time for Krishna and the cowherd boys to call back the cows. So again, they blew their flutes and the buffalo horns, and they called the cows to actually come, rise up and come back and join their company. So along with the cows, they started moving again in the forest. And while they were moving back to the village of Nanda Maharaj, on the way, again, they started collecting gunja berries and forest flowers. And finally, they were almost about to reach Krishna's village, where he would go into Nanda Bhavan, inside Nanda Maharaj's home. But before that, Krishna made sure that Jana Sharma was left in the hands of his dear friend Sarupa, and then he entered the cowherd village. So like this, Jana Sharma, he perfected his life. He finally attained the company of Lord Sri Krishna. So like this, we saw how Sarupa, who was Gopa Kumar, attained perfection. He went to Goloka Vrindavan. And we have also seen how the Brahmin who had traveled all the way from Pragjyotishpur to Mathura, who accepted Gopa Kumar or Sarupa as a spiritual master, whose spiritual name was Jana Sharma, finally attained perfection. And he got to be one of the cowherd boys of Sri Krishna. So this is the story of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And this entire story, we should remember, was narrated by Parikshit Maharaj. Maharaj to Mother Uttara. So Parikshit Maharaj, he told his mother, "My dear Mother Uttara, I have told you everything that you need to know, everything. In the beginning of this narration, you had asked me two questions. What are those two questions that you had asked? You asked me, what is the essence that Shukadeva Goswami taught me in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And you asked me to quickly reveal it to you, like churning the nectar from the ocean of milk. I have done that. The second question you asked was, is there a world, a higher world beyond Vaikuntha, where the intimate associates of the Lord can personally interact with Him and associate with Him? With your intelligence, by now you must have understood what the answer is. This is indeed the place. So, my dear mother, please, please, with all your endeavor, try to reach that Goloka Vrindavan. That Goloka Vrindavan, it is like an ocean of transcendental bliss. And going there, you can relish all sorts of sweet exchanges without any veneration, you know, of the Supreme Lord. Of course, Goloka Vrindavan is only achieved when the Lord becomes very, very merciful towards a person. But still, one must endeavor with enthusiasm and confidence in whatever sadhana that they have taken up. Also, we should understand that just by going to a place called Mathura in this material world, automatically one doesn't attain all perfections. Just because you're going and visiting Vrindavan, it doesn't mean that you will attain all these perfections. All these perfections can be attained only when one gathers the dust from the feet of great Vaishnavas. That is what we saw in our previous session. With great, in great detail, Sarupa was explaining this point. Unless one is able to gather the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee, one can never ever attain perfection. Jana Sharma, he attained perfection only when he came in contact with Sarupa. Similarly, Parikshit was urging his mother to take devotee association and take the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee. So like this, Parikshit told Mother Uttara, "You had asked me to tell everything that is needed for your deliverance. Just by hearing with attention and faith this great detail about Goloka, everyone's doubts will be vanquished and certainly everyone will be delivered. When one meditates on that world which is present beyond Vaikuntha, when one meditates on the lotus feet of Sri Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, one can surely attain perfection and really, really achieve the highest goal of life, which is a long-standing Krishna Prema." So like this, Parikshit Maharaj, he concluded his talk to his mother. And he told her, "This is the answer to the questions that you had asked previously." But then Parikshit Maharaj, he wanted to say a few more things. He said, "Just because I have told you this entire story of Jana Sharma and Sarupa, it is not enough. It is really not enough. And I do not expect you to believe everything until I quote from Shastra." So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, now to substantiate whatever he had told, what had happened in history, he told her so that she could relate to it. But now Parikshit Maharaj, he also wanted to substantiate from scripture. So he told, "I will substantiate everything that I have spoken so far. So I will quote some relevant statements from scripture." The first thing he did was, he began to quote from Harivamsa Purana. So Harivamsa 2.19, chapter 19, verses 29 to 30, and then further verses 32 to 35. It is mentioned, "Above the Swarga," that is the heavenly abode of Indra, "is the abode of Brahma. And beyond that is the abode of Uma and Lord Shiva, where great luminous souls are liberated in the Brahma Jyoti, and which is also called as the abode of liberation or Muktipada. Above that is the spiritual world, which is Vaikuntha. And beyond that is the planet of cows, where the sadhyas worship the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. None of us can really comprehend or understand that supreme abode. Goloka is presided over by the sadhyas." Now, what does it mean to say that Goloka is presided over by the sadhyas? Sadhyas means saintly persons. So who are the saintly persons present in Goloka Vrindavan? Saintly persons like Nanda Maharaj and others, whom even Narada Muni and the four Kumaras want to follow, are present in that spiritual world, which is Goloka Vrindavan. The Gopas and the Gopis present in Goloka Vrindavan, they simply bring Krishna under their control just by their ecstatic, unique sentiments that they have for Krishna. And we should understand that the sadhyas mentioned here, they are not some ordinary celestials. Even in this world, a group of demigods are called as sadhyas. But the sadhyas in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, they are no ordinary demigods. See, Swarga, it can be attained by very pious activities. One can attain Swarga by doing a lot of punya. Brahma's abode, it can be attained by very strict spiritual discipline. However, Goloka Vrindavan is mentioned in scriptures that it can be attained very, very rarely. So like this Harivamsa, it goes to great detail talking about the presence of Goloka Vrindavan and how it is beyond any other world that one can fathom. And Krishna, he also tells Arjuna and Skanda Purana. So we have seen the verses from Harivamsa Purana. Now we are seeing verses from Skanda Purana. So Krishna himself tells Arjuna, O son of Kunti, I move around in various forms on earth in my various incarnations. I also move around higher planetary systems like Brahma Loka and others. But I am present eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, that is my ultimate abode. So this is what Krishna is telling in Skanda Purana, and it is quoted by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Now when we say Goloka Vrindavan, we should also understand another point. That, in fact, there is a Goloka within this world, within this material world. And what is that Goloka? That Goloka is the abode of the cows, the planet of the cows. Oftentimes, there is some sort of confusion that is created through certain statements that is present in scriptures. And people conclude that Goloka is somewhere near heaven or somewhere near Brahma's abode. But that Goloka is only the planet of the cows. And that is the planet from where Mother Surabhi, she came along with Indra, and she came during the Govardhan Leela pastime. So when you see during the Govardhan Leela pastime, Mother Surabhi and Indra, they come down and they talk to Krishna, and Indra apologizes to Krishna, keeping Surabhi in the front. So where did this Mother Surabhi come from? She came from Goloka, which is present within this world, which is present near Satyaloka. The abode is also mentioned that it is present near Satyaloka. But we should understand that this Goloka Vrindavan that we have been talking about all this while is certainly not the planet of the cows. Rather, it is the supreme abode, which is the planet of cows, yes, but also has the presence of other great sadhyas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, in his most perfect form. So like this, Parikshit, he answered the questions of Uttara, and also he wanted to further talk about more pramanas. Three puranas were mentioned, but then he also wanted to talk about further pramanas. Now, this narration was done by Parikshit to Mother Uttara. We also should remember that the same narration was later recounted by Jaimini to Janamejaya. I hope you're able to brush up your memories. This is something that we saw in the beginning of our series, both the first book and the second book. The narration of Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to Uttara, and later it was relayed by, say, Jaimini to Janamejaya. As a part of the Mahabharata that Jaimini spoke to Janamejaya, which had the appendix of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, after Janamejaya heard from, say, Jaimini, this entire conversation of Parikshit and Uttara, Janamejaya told Jaimini. So, I hope you're all with me. Janamejaya told Jaimini, O foremost of the Vaishnavas, I heard the same verses, similar verses from Vaishampayana when he recited the Mahabharata and Harivamsa to me. Because the Mahabharata that was recited by Vaishampayana is the Mahabharata that we all have. And the appendix of that Mahabharata is Harivamsa Purana, right? So definitely this Janamejaya, he has already heard from Harivamsa these pramanas. So he is telling, Janamejaya is telling Jayamani, I heard these pramanas, I heard all of this in the Harivamsa that was recited to me by Vaishampayana. And I derived the same understanding from them when he said that even I could understand. But from these verses of Brihad Bhagavatamrita that you are narrating as a part of the appendix of your narration, this is actually giving me a lot of clarity and it is shining fresh as a fresh insight. I'm able to understand things as I'm hearing the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in great detail. I'm now able to understand the pramanas that were already quoted. So he said, oh, are you really going to end this narration? My heart is burning. I want to hear more and more. My heart is becoming really sad that you're going to stop this narration. So somehow, please administer this medicine of Krishna Katha more to me. This elixir, when it is administrated through my ear, it will surely make me feel happier. So tell me more. Tell me more about the pramanas. Tell me more what else is being spoken in all the scriptures about this wonderful abode of Sri Goloka Vrindavan. So like this, Janamejaya, he asked Jaimini. And Jaimini, he said, my dear child, your father Parikshit, after narrating the wonderful story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he spoke some verses in glorification of Goloka Vrindavan, not just from Puranas, but he also spoke from various scriptures like the Brahma Samhita, the Bhagavatam, and so many other places. Now, I will tell you those verses. So, we are going to look at some verses from Brahma Samhita, at least three verses from Brahma Samhita that speak about the presence of Goloka Vrindavan and the glorious devotees who are seen in Goloka Vrindavan and how Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost abode. So we will do only Brahma Samhita today and the remaining we will cover in our next session. So what are the verses that were quoted? Very famous verse 537 of Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bhis Tadirya eva nijarupataya kalabi Goloka eva nivasatya klatma bhuto Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge and bliss enjoys in his own and expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of creation. So these prayers, they were sung by Lord Brahma. And Brahma calls Lord Sri Krishna as Adi Purusha, the original personality of Godhead Sri Govinda. So Brahma, he's trying to reveal the super excellence that is shown by this Lord Govinda and his associates and paraphernalia in his supreme abode, which is Goloka Vrindavan. And in this verse, there is a phrase that says, Rupataya Kala Bihi. That means Kala can be understood in various ways. So one meaning of Kala is a way of artistic expression. So we say, right, there is Kala is artistic forms. So definitely, Krishna has several artistic skills and he enchants all the devotees there with his artistic skills. But it's just not Kala means just skills. Kala also means extended parts. In Sanskrit, Kala also means extended parts. So therefore, we should understand that Krishna is enjoying there in Goloka Vrindavan with his extended parts, which refer to Srimati Radharani and her principal companions, the gopis and the further gopas who are present in Goloka Vrindavan. There is also another phrase in this verse that says, Nijarupataya. So Nijarupataya, it means that these devotee expansions of Krishna, they all have Nijarupa, meaning they are in their constitutional position, they are expressing very sweet devotional exchanges that is full of love for Krishna. And not only that, they are all having Nijarupa, meaning they are all expansions from his personality and they are real. They are real just like Krishna. These forms are real just like Krishna. And they are all endowed with Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa means they are filled with ecstasy. In fact, the power of bhakti eternally manifests in these various devotees, and they serve as emblems of the rasas that these devotees are exhibiting there. Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord, we all know. He is also the super soul present in all living entities. He is the witness and he is the regulator of all living entities. Yet, this Krishna, who is the Lord of all lords, where is he living? He is living in a very, very high place that is called as Goloka Vrindavan, where he is enjoying intimate pastimes with his devotees. Therefore, we see in this verse, Brahma uses a third person pronoun. He tells, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship that Lord Govinda, he says. Why is he saying that Lord Govinda? Because he feels Govinda is so far away. Though he is present as the super soul, though he is present within every atom, though he comes down from time to time as incarnations, but his real abode is much far away. And therefore, Brahma is offering prayers to that Govinda who is present in that transcendental abode, which is far away. Tamaham bhajami. So like that, this verse is described. Different phrases of these words are analyzed and it is described. This verse was Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Very famous verse from the Brahma Samhita that most of you know. So let's look at another verse from the Brahma Samhita. Directly talks about Goloka Vrindavan. Anyone who asks, give me a praman for Goloka, immediately devotees will only refer to this verse. Goloka nami nijadami tale chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu Tete Prabhava Nichayavi Hitaschayena Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This gives direct gradation of the different worlds, both in this universe and beyond. The translation is, lowest of all the mundane world, Devi Dham, is Devi Dham, which is this material world. Above it is the abode of Mahesha, Mahesh Dham. And above Mahesh Dham is the abode of Lord Hari, Hari Dham. And Goloka is above all of them, which is Krishna's own realm, named and there the primeval Lord Govinda is adored, who has allotted to the rulers of the graded realms their respectful authorities. This is the verse Goloka Nami Nijadami Talechatasya. This is verse number 43 of the same Brahma Samhita. So what is this verse describing? It says that below the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, there are countless of worlds. What are they? The abode of Lord Narayana is present. The abode of Lord Shiva is present. And the abode of the material world, which is the abode of Goddess Devi, that is also present. Narayana, he is ruling over Vaikuntha planets. And Lord Shiva, he's ruling over this abode of impersonal liberation. And Devi, she's ruling this material world. But beyond all of this is this abode of Govinda. And his energies are non-different from him. Everything is proceeding from that Govinda. Everything is coming from Lord Govinda. So like this, certainly Govinda's world is very, very wonderful because of the sweet relationships that is found in this special abode. And then the final verse is this, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Dhumra Bhumis Chintamani Gana Mahitoyam Amrutam Kataganam Natyam Gamanamapi Vamshi Priyasaki Chidanannam Jyoti Paramamapi Tadav Aswadayam Apicha Sayatra Shiradihi Saravati Surabhi Yascha Sumahan Nimeshadha Akyo Vavrajati Nahi Yatrapi Samyaha Bajeshveta Dvipam Tamaham Miha Goloka Yitiyam Vidantaste Santahakshiti Viralacharaha Tatipaye. So this is a very long verse. It says, I worship the transcendental seat known as Shveta Dvipa, where the loving consorts of the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is a purpose gem, all the water is nectar, Every word is a song. Every gait is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. There is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls of this world. So this is Brahma Samhita 556, and it directly talks about all the possible glories of Goloka Vrindavan. And Brahma calls Goloka by its esoteric name, Shweta Dvipa, because Shweta Dvipa, it has a very inner meaning why Goloka Vrindavan here is called a Shweta Dvipa. So Brahma, he's putting so much information into this one verse. He's talking about so many things. Like he talks about the other name, which is Shweta Dvipa. He's talking about all the loving consorts who are all Lakshmis. And then he talks about every tree being transcendental and every tree being a Kalpavriksha. The soil is a wish-fulfilling gem. Every gate is a dance and every word is a song. And it talks about the numberless milk cows and how this entire information about Goloka Vrindavan is actually not known to many people. It is known only to very, very few self-realized souls of this world. So, Goloka Vrindavan, one of the reasons it is called as Shweta Dvipa is because it becomes very white. How does it become very white? Shweta means white, right? So, what is it that makes Goloka Vrindavan Shweta Dvipa? It is because within this this Goloka, there is an ocean of milk. Just like how you see an ocean of milk in the material universe, similarly, an ocean of milk is present in the spiritual world. And why is there an ocean of milk? An ocean of milk is coming out from the cows that is present in Goloka Vrindavan. In the material world also, there is an ocean of milk where Shirodakshaya Vishnu, he actually lies there, right, near the ocean of milk. But that is really an ocean of milk. It is not produced by the milk from the cows. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the entire place is inundated with so much milk from all these Surabhi cows. So therefore, this entire place is called Shweta Dvipa or the White Island, this entire Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, Yamuna is present in Goloka Vrindavan, but then this ocean of milk also borders the entire abode of Goloka, the abode of Goloka Vrindavan. Now, another point that is being mentioned here is that the time in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan is beyond beyond the effect of the deterioration of time. Meaning, in this material world, time always has a sense of deterioration. Time deteriorates everything. Everything we see in this world, any object or any person, with time, everything is going to dwindle. So nothing stays perfectly the same forever. It dwindles with time. But whereas in the spiritual world, there is no concept of past, present, or future, or nothing is actually deteriorating in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. In fact, we even saw some pastimes where there is no concept of time. This entire pastime of Kaliya was repeating again and again, and Akrura coming and taking away the gopis, taking away Krishna from the gopis, that was also repeating over and over, and none of them remembered that it had already happened. Why? Because there is no concept of present, past or future in the spiritual world. And then Krishna has described, in so many ways, he says that there are several, in this verse it says, there are several consorts of Krishna. So we all know that there are several gopis who are present there and who are enjoying with Krishna. And in fact, in one place, it even says, Paramapurushah. So the Supreme Lord is described in plural form. So why would it say Paramapurushah? Because Krishna also expands and he enjoys with all these residents of Vrindavan in multiple forms. So therefore, in the spiritual world, Krishna is also Paramapurushah in plural form. He expands into many and he's enjoying with all these wonderful associates who are present there. Goloka in this verse is also described as Param Jyoti, meaning spiritual light. So supreme spiritual light. So where is this light coming from? This light is because this entire land of Goloka Vrindavan is completely effulgent. And where is this effulgence coming from? It is coming from the bodily effulgence of Parabrahman Sri Krishna. Not only is it coming from his bodily effulgence, this effulgence is also coming from the lips of Sri Krishna. It is very, very transcendental. And also the effulgence that is coming from the devotees who are inundated in prema is actually pervading through this entire Goloka Vrindavan. So like this, Goloka is so effulgent. And in fact, the material world, everything is coming. The light that is seen in the material world, we all know that the sun is receiving its light from the Brahma Jyoti. Where is the Brahma Jyoti receiving its light? Brahma Jyoti is receiving its light from the body of Sri Krishna. Because everything in Goloka Vrindavan is so effulgent. It is called as the supreme light, Parama Jyoti. This entire place is called as Parama Jyoti. So like this, Goloka Vrindavan is described in various, various ways. The residents of Goloka Vrindavan, they are described in various ways. And the entire Brahma Samhita is in fact a dedication to this wonderful spiritual realm that is called as Goloka Vrindavan. So we will stop here. And there are so many more pramanas that Parikshit Maharaj is going to give to Mother Uttara. And of course, Janamejaya is also going to repeat the same thing. Jaimani is going to repeat the same thing to Janamejaya, and we can hear more from them in our next session. We will also be going through several Bhagavatam verses, and we will understand this entire concept of Goloka Vrindavan in great detail. So I will end here. Any questions, comments, realizations, or any other comments, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilas Mataji. Thank you so much for covering this whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita with so much effort, with so much patience. So, even I was feeling so depressed. So the story part is over, right? So now will come only the philosophy to substantiate that story. So
yes, Mataji.
It was so nice to hear all these stories, the pastimes basically. Mm. The stories, but the pastimes of Krishna. So I do have one question. Rather two. First, I have about that Shri, like the goddess of fortune. Somehow not clear. Maybe I was not paying attention. And second part is about the sadhyas, because we know, right? The sadhyas, all the spiritual personalities, they are known as sadhyas, right? Because they are sadhus. So sadhus are those who know their sadhyas, means those who know their ultimate goal of life.
Yes.
So can you please explain these two points?
Okay. So the first question was about Shri. You're right. So we were quoting to Bhagavatam verses where all the queens, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, all of them, they are meeting Draupadi in Kurukshetra, and they are talking about their how each one is a very humble servant of Lord Sri Krishna. So when they are describing that, at that time they say, all that we want to do is, we just want to execute pure devotional service and worship the lotus feet of our Supreme Lord, of our husband, Lord Sri Krishna, whose feet is smeared with the kumkuma from the bosom of Shri, Goddess of Fortune. Now, all of them are goddesses of fortune, right? So what are they asking for, actually? Why they want to worship the feet of the Lord that is smeared from the kumkuma of, the goddess of fortune? They themselves are telling goddess of fortune. So what is it? So there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comes and he says, actually, this is what they are referring to. They are referring to the gopis of Vrindavan headed by Srimati Radharani. And he quotes from Gautamiya Tantra saying that who the supreme goddess of fortune is. So it's a very famous verse. It's a praman for the presence of Srimati Radharani. And it is there from the Vedic Shrutis that Srimati Radharani does exist, because in so many other sampradayas, there's a big question about Srimati Radharani. So here you have from Gautamiya Tantra, there is a reference to the presence of Srimati Radharani and how she is the supreme most goddess of fortune. So that, because we all say, right, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, where did that phrase come from? So that phrase actually comes from this particular verse that says, Devi Krishnamayi Prota, Radhika Paradevata, Sarvalakshmi Mayi Sarva, Kantihi Sammohini Para. So this is the direct reference for Srimati Radhika. And then, the very next verse, in fact, this is, yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a commentary, that is fine. But in the very next verse, which is verse number 43, the same queens, they are telling, they are identifying actually what they want. Kumkuma is this, which is smeared on Krishna's feet. They themselves are saying, they are saying, we desire to contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Vraja, the cowherd boys, and even the aboriginal Pulinda women desire. The touch of the dust he leaves on the plants and grass, and he tends his cows. So they immediately relate to the Vrajavasis. So when they relate to the Vrajavasis, we understand that whom they are indicating. So it is an indirect reference that actually these queens are talking about the kumkuma that is coming, which is decorating the lotus feet of Sri Krishna that comes from the gopis of Vrindavan. So was that clear, Mataji?
Yeah, so the Supreme Goddess of Fortune are the gopis of Vrindavan, right?
Yes. Headed by Srimati Radha.
Headed by Yes, Mataji.
And the second question was Sadhyas, yes. So here, if we see that verse, Sanatan Goswami, he also goes into great detail about explaining that sadhyas are present everywhere. Yes, sadhyas are present everywhere. Even in the celestial realms, there are various sadhyas, meaning they're also one class of demigods. They're also present everywhere. Sadhus are also sadhyas. But then when you put things together, Sanatan Goswami says, if you elaborate on this particular verse that is coming from Harivamsha, that the supreme abode where the sadhyas are present, where Krishna tends cows. So when all this is put together, you can understand that these sadhyas are in fact the associates of Sri Krishna. Because we can, someone may take that sadhyas word out of context and say maybe it is present in the material world. But then Sanatan Goswami, he substantiates it, saying that these sadhyas can refer only to Nanda Maharaj and the associates, because those are the ones who are present in the world of Krishna, where Krishna is personally tending cows. It cannot refer to any other place. So, of course, sadhya is a general term, but still it is, in this context, it is applicable only to the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj. What is that? Okay.
Jai Ho.
Thank you. Thank you. And Mataji, if you don't mind, can you share me, you know, on WhatsApp, the verse from the Gautamiya Tantriya that you were telling about?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, thank you. So from the very beginning, this was such a sweet, sweet pastime. I just remember, I could picture as you were speaking of Krishna looking down the path and waiting for all of us to come. And it was just so sweet, just so very beautiful. And I really appreciated you going over the verses at the end from Brahma Samhita. That was really just so special. And like you said, there was so much in those few verses that you shared. I took so many notes just on that. So I'm just so grateful for the class as always. I have one question, and I'm sure this has been mentioned before in other classes, but in relation to when the Bhagavatam was spoken, when was this spoken by Parikshit to his mother, to Uttara?
Yeah, so we all know that Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, and he heard the Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadev Goswami. And then before he desired to really sit down and, you know, in meditation and give up his life, Mother Uttara comes running to him, and then she asks him, I know you have heard everything from Shukadev Goswami, but please benefit me somehow. I was not in that assembly. So you please churn out the nectar and just tell it in essence what it is. Because before you, I know you're going to give up your life soon. So before that, I really want to be benefited. And she goes and she asks him. And then he tells her that, yes, I will quickly tell you in the form of a story. And towards the end only he substantiates with verses. But then when I tell you the story, you will realize what the ultimate goal of life is. And this is in fact the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the method? What is the method of achieving perfection? Pure devotional service. That is the essence described in the entire Bhagavatam. And which is the highest abode? And who are the greatest of all devotees? So the entire 10th canto is actually a glorification of the devotees of Krishna. And who is the greatest of all the devotees of Krishna? So that was the book one of Bhagavatamrita. And this is book two, the ultimate destination. So this, to answer your question, yes, the timeline is that before he gave up his life, Uttara went running to him and asked him this, and then he spoke. Now, another question was raised as to, oh, how much time did they have? Because already he was very fast approaching death, 7 days, right? He sat and he heard, and it was time up for him. But it is explained by the Yogamaya potency of the Lord that the time actually expanded till he could complete that narration, and then he gave up his life. So,
wow. Thank you. It was amazing. Thank you so much, Mataji.
And very, very grateful to you, Mataji, for your association and your very sweet words. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti, Dhanvat Pranams. So beautiful class. I just had one question, if you can just elaborate a little, you were saying something about Shweta Deep. If you can please elaborate.
Okay, I thought someone will ask this question for sure today. So generally we read that in the commentaries of the Brahma Samhita directly, where Shweta Dweep is directly expressed to be the abode of Lord Chaitanya. It is, in fact. We know in Goloka Vrindavan, if you look at the Goloka chart also, which is very beautifully depicted based on the Brahma Samhita, how the pink lotus is actually, this lotus abode is actually Goloka, where Krishna and his associates are present. And around that, the periphery, the around areas, named as Shweta Dweep, and it is white in color, and that is described as the presence of Lord Chaitanya, his abode. It is also mentioned in the commentaries of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and our Srila Prabhupada himself has mentioned several times that that is Shweta Dweep, which is correct. That is how it is. But here Sanatan Goswami is also giving us this idea that that entire region can also be called Shweta Dweep because of the presence of the ocean of milk that is coming out from the cows that is present in that spiritual world. Though we understand Shweta Dweep has different, there are different Shweta Dweeps. Like for example, we saw in this material world where Shirodakshay Vishnu actually lies, he lies in the Shira ocean, and that region is also called a Shweta Dweepa, which is present near Dhruva Loka in the higher planetary systems. And Shweta Dweepa is also referred to the abode of Lord Chaitanya that is present in the periphery of that Goloka, in the central region where Radha Krishna are present. There, Lord Chaitanya has his eternal abode that is also called Shweta Dweepa. But the entire region of Goloka Vrindavan, which includes the residence of Radha Krishna, their pastime places, and the abode of Lord Chaitanya, everything put together is also called a Shweta Dweepa. Why? Because of the whiteness that is created from the unlimited milk that is flowing from these cows. So that's the explanation, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Preeti.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your association. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini, Gopi, Koti Koti, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Like Gaurangi Mataji told, so like we feel that Leela Mataji, every time the nectar is more and more, you put your efforts and the question answer and the Shweta Deepas, and how much you are reading, we can understand that you will give on the spot answer from Sanatan Goswami, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and then Srila Prabhupada, that
we can understand that how much you, Kirtida Sundari, are reading and making note for us. And see, we, Mataji, I have seen the Kirtida Sundari Mataji is not from that day I try to make a note, Mataji. Today I miss your 25 minutes. I hear again, Mataji. But how nicely you are singing Govind Namami Purusam Namaham Bhajami. Mataji, that two Gauloka stanza, can you sing for all of us, Mataji? So sincerely you are explaining Lila, Mataji. Hundred thousand koti koti pranam to your sincere seva.
Hundred koti koti dandavat pranams to your sincere presence and listening, Mataji. Definitely, yes. I'll definitely quote again. I'll do it. Then we can go for the other questions. Yeah, I'll just quote it quickly. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhis tabirya eva nija rupataya kalabhi goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami goloka namni nijadamni talecha tasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu Tete Prabhava Nichaya Vihitaschayena Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hari Bol, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Hari Krishna, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Anyone has anything else to add or correct anything? Any comments, corrections?
Hare Krishna Mataji, then Pranam, or Lord Shri Prabhupada, then Guru Maharaj. When one point when you started over there, you said, right, like, I'm forgetting the reference, you said, like, are you going to stop now saying this? I said, like, oh, how is he saying our words over there?
Ha, Mataji, yes.
Like, don't stop now. And so, Mataji, like we said, like when this Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita was spoken, the time it expanded, right? So now this, I exactly do not know the references where I'd heard it, but then it is said that, again, I'm so sorry for my memory, but then it is said that which Goswami, I don't know, he used to travel from one place to the another, which is practically impossible to cover up. But then it is said that the earth used to shrink and then the distance used to be less. Over Govardhan only, I guess. The Govardhan Parikrama.
Yeah, Goloka. Right? Yeah. The entire land of Goloka is like, Gokula is like a lotus. So it, you know, even for Krishna to go so fast and meet with the gopis, come back, even the distance between Andagaon and Varsala. So it's like a lotus, it expands and it contracts the touch of the lotus feet of the Lord. So he can go really fast or he can go really slow. The abode is like that.
Yeah, this clarification was really nice because I always thought that how did Parikshit Maharaj had that much time to explain this again? And this explanation really makes a lot of sense.
Really, thank wonderful. You so much. Thank you so much, Sita Preeti Mataji. Thank you for your association.
Thank you, Mataji. And I'm again telling you, anybody else, start with the kids, Mataji. This classes are nectar, you know, and this the kids really need to know this.
Sure, Mataji. All my notes are there. We can start next.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class.
Thank you waiting so much, for Sita Preeti.
Now and when I type the announcement also the phone also directly tells you, okay, Prita will be Shadbhyad Bhagavatamrita. Then again it comes book two.
Autocorrect session. Like a never ending.
It should not end. It should not end. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hari.
Why it's never ending, you know. It's a sad situation that it's going to end soon.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe three other sessions or four. I don't know how many.
Most 100, but I think, sir, you already covered. So it's only 99 verses you covered and it's 157. So almost 50 more verses.
50 more. Then at least two classes, right?
50 or 60 verses, yeah.
At least two or three classes.
Hmm. But we forgot what you taught in this time, this beginning, so you can start it again.
That's the Kali Yuga Jiva's memory.
Yes.
Every class, every class is newer and fresher.
Even I don't remember anything that I speak, then I think, oh, did I really say this? Did I really cover this? I forget half the things.
Advantage of Kali Yuga, at least we'll be able to hear it again.
Again and again, yes.
Yeah.
Reboul. Okay, so...
Hare Krishna Mataji, very, very beautiful class. And thank you, Tiffany Mataji, for asking that question. How did Parikshit Maharaj was telling Mother Uttara, oh, he has only less time, how did it happen? That question was really very interesting and it really answered my question also. And the way you are explaining all the references, Mataji, and that too you are quoting all Brahma Samhita answers. I'm so happy this Damodar kids already learned Brahma Samhita. They are now ready to preach with the quotations, Mataji.
Jai.
They can quote it nicely wherever they want. If somebody asks where is Goloka Vrindavan, who is residing there, they can quote now. It's very nice, Mataji. Thank you. I'm feeling so proud of Damodar kids. They learn.
Wonderful.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare bol, Hare bol. That's so true, Mataji. Now they can all preach nicely. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare bol.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you, thank you, thank you so, so much for taking us through both these beautiful parts of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It has been a wonderful journey. So many things that we learn new, you know, so many experiences and how those devotees are and how Krishna, that was the most, beautifulest part to me today's session was how Krishna was expressing, you know, his love and his affection for his devotee, how he is like shedding those tears of love and, you know, it's flowing, how he's clearing the dust of their body and just. So one question here was, is that the same as Sarupya? Is he trying to make them like him? Was that the whole idea, like we say, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point that you raised. Yeah, it's not exactly like Sarupya that he's trying to do, but rather he wants to take him as one of his associates, make him one of the cowherd men, cowherd boys, make him one among them, among his team members. So, like that. So it's just like when you're welcoming someone, you want to make them feel very comfortable at your home and you give your own, night pajamas or something. And then as a team, you all look similar and you want to wear the same color coding and all of you dress up similarly and show your unity. So like that, it was more like, okay, you are welcome now and then you are one of us. So come on, you're also a cowherd. Because that was his Swarupa. His Swarupa was to be a cowherd boy. So now he attained the status of a cowherd boy in his constitutional position. But also physically, he also started looking like a cowherd boy. So like that.
Okay, very nice, very nice. Because in the beginning, his description is totally different. Not like Gopakumar, not like Sarupa, right?
Yes.
Okay.
His description is very different, yes. You're right.
Very nice, very nice. And so beautiful, Mataji. Don't know how to thank you for presenting this with so much research and how you went through all of it. I really would have to go through the entire thing over and over again to, you know, even understand one a little bit. But thank you so much. Really grateful for your service, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Actually, I'm just saying from the book, I've not done much research, but Sanatan Goswami, Gopi Paranandana Prabhu, we have done everything, Mataji. I'm just repeating. So, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your very kind and encouraging words. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Just in an extension to what Indu Mataji was referring, I need a little clarification. So, Jyoti, what his name? This Jyoti.
Jana Sharma.
Jana Sharma. Okay. So now this Jana Sharma and our Gop Kumara, who is Sarupa, they met in Bhauma Vrindavan, right? So there they saw Krishna with the cowherd boys, and they sported, and you know, everything went. So after that, Krishna left. So that means that Brahmana was still in Bhauma Vrindavan, or he also went back to Goloka.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of Sri Brihad Bhagavatam. Before the description of Jana Sharma meeting Krishna, what happened was Sanatan Goswami, he went into great detail about giving us reference after reference as to how Bhauma Vrindavan is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. So he went on and on and on saying that, like, for several verses, Bhauma Vrindavan is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. Whatever is there in Goloka Vrindavan, it is there in Bhauma Vrindavan. So he went on saying that. Then he said, Jana Sharma, he met Krishna in Bhauma Vrindavan. So as readers, what we understand is, when he attained perfection, when he attained perfection and seeing Krishna face to face in his Aprakata Leela, that means he has attained perfection and he has gone back to the spiritual world. Because Bhauma Vrindavan is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. Like that. So though Sanatan Goswami doesn't explicitly state that, he takes the narrative in such a way that the reader should understand. Like that.
Oh. And then Sarupa also went, right?
Yeah. Because when he says that thing, when Sarupa is constantly telling him the difference between, I mean, he's saying there is no difference between Bhauma Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. In fact, I just came from there to here. I can just move up and down very freely, he says that, right? So that means what? He's just come to take Jana Sharma and they're going to go back. I mean, together. Like that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kirtina Sundari Mataji. That was a very important question that had to be addressed. Thank you.
So Mataji, I thought at the end you were saying, not at the end, like at the end of that fasting, you were saying that he goes to Sarupa's house. Is that, or did I not, I might have not heard that clearly.
No, he says, he hands over, Krishna hands over Jana Sharma to Sarupa, and then he goes into his cowherd village. Because why Sanatan Goswami explains that, already we have seen enough details of what happens inside the cowherd village when this Sarupa was describing his experience in Goloka Vrindavan to Jana Sharma. So therefore, now again to take Sarupa inside, I mean Jana Sharma inside, and then again go through these pastimes wouldn't be needed. So we should understand that when he was handed over to Sarupa and then he entered the village of Nanda Maharaj, we should understand that they all went together and they continued to, you know, enjoy the presence of Krishna. But Jana Sharma was always under the care of Sarupa there in the spiritual world or in Bhauma Vrindavan, wherever you take it. Make sense?
Yes, Mataji, yes. So one more question, does Krishna come personally all the time, like to take them back home? To take his devotees back home?
Definitely the spiritual master takes the responsibility. Definitely it is the spiritual master that takes the responsibility and hands us over to Krishna. Like how it happened for Jana Sharma. Did that indirectly answer?
Yes, but they both came down to Bhauma Vrindavan.
Yes, even if we have to get a vision of Krishna face to face also, the point here is whether we get a vision after we go there or we are in Bhauma Vrindavan, it is through the spiritual master that it happens. It is facilitated through the spiritual master. Definitely we get the vision of Krishna. Whether it is, you know, generally what happens, the general understanding is that one actually takes a birth where Krishna's pastimes are happening. Right? We say that is like the, what do you call it, the probatory phase, what is that? The internship kind of a thing before going to the spiritual world. You're taken there and you do get a glimpse of Krishna. So is Krishna coming for you? Or maybe you are going to Krishna. One of the two, you can take it.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Very nice yes. class. Wonderful class, Mataji.
Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji.
A small clarification on Mataji. We know that Janamejaya had the fortunate to listen the narration of Mahabharata from Vaishampaya Rishi. And then later he also was fortunate to listen to the narration from Jaimini Rishi. So is there any details about the occasions when these both took place, Mataji? Like we know Vaishampayana Rishi was earlier, I guess so, because he was saying like that. So is there any particular occasion when these both took place, like the time when it happened or something? Any details on it?
I don't know. In the beginning of the book also, nothing much was mentioned, right, regarding that time. It just says before and after. I don't remember. See, it should be in the first few pages of Brihadbhagavatamrita, even if there is something. But I don't remember anything like that.
Okay, Mataji, okay, no problem. And Mataji, next one I wanted to ask about the Brahmajyoti part. You said that Goloka Vrindavan was totally, was all time it was lighted with Brahmajyoti that comes from Krishna's body and lips. So, and you mentioned the same Jyoti was giving the light to the sun for our Bhumi. So is that the same Brahmajyoti that you can see in other parts like Vaikuntha or Shiva Loka, everywhere? Is the entire universe or everything by lighted by this Brahmajyoti?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask that also, Mataji. And one more question. You said about the adobes like Bhumi, where the material people we are living, and the Maheshwara Loka, where the people of liberation are going. So, does that mean if someone is praying for liberation, they are unable to enter into Goloka, or is it possible only devotees to enter into Goloka Vaikuntha?
Only devotees. See, when someone wants Sayujya, he wants to merge. Why would he want to go to a spiritual abode of the Lord to have personal association with the Lord? Whatever your desire is, whatever your method of, whatever your goal is, you will go there only. Now, why will you go to Goloka? If you want Sayujya, I want oneness. Why would I want to go to Goloka? Or why would Goloka open up for me? It will not open up for me. So our practice, our desire, our goal, everything will be directly proportional to our destination.
Okay, Mataji. So the Goloka door doesn't open up for anyone who is not a devotee.
No. In fact, it is only for devotees who are in prema, meaning who want to have a spontaneous loving relationship with Krishna, especially Goloka. So if you see the Goloka chart, meaning a diagram of how Goloka is done, they have Trishuls on all directions, preventing people from entering. It's highly guarded. It is possible only when one has the right endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord, and when one has developed a pure devotional service. So there is a lot of guarding even there also. It is protected on all sides, actually.
So when it is so protected, but in the story we see that Krishna himself comes and take away Jana Sharma's, what's his name? Jana Sharma with him. That's so wonderful. And also the part, where Krishna takes his own jewels and he decorates him. I never heard anywhere that Krishna is taking away his ornaments. So that was, it was so interesting to me that how does Krishna take his ornaments and put it on a devotee? It was so wonderful, Mataji. So devotional, so divine.
It's so beautiful.
Yes, so beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your wonderful class.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay, anyone else wants to say anything or shall we end the call? Okay, so then we can end the call. Mataji, thank you all so much for your very valuable time and association. Vancha kalpataru vescha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai, and we'll continue our prayers for the recovery of His Holiness Bhaktisara Swami Maharaj. Thank you all so much for joining us and giving us your time and association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Priti Vilasini Mataji ki jai.
All glories to your Sambhav devotees.
Hare Krishna Mataji.